Shalom la Yehudim, shalom la Bnei Noach, shalom la Goyim. It's the evening of the sixth day, Yud Gimel Be'elun, Parashas Kisesei, the evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 27 August 2015, webcasting from the target of a hatred unlike any known to man. I think it is the upside, though, to this reality that is evidence of the world's agreement that Jewishness, the Jewish religion, is the real McCoy. The first commandment given to the first two human beings, don't eat from that tree, was violated. They rebelled. And saluting the religion of the Jews today, and what it says, also triggers rebellion in man. Precisely because the world takes seriously the Jews' claim there is only one God, and he wants man to choose good over evil. The first thing Adam and Eve learned when they bit into the apple of the tree of knowledge, that there is good and evil, the world hates the Jews for being the chosen messengers of that story. People don't want to hear it. Adolf Hitler himself, Yimach Shemo, hit the nail on the head when he said the worst thing the Jews did was invent conscience. So it's par for the course that every day, or almost every day, a non-Jew here, or several of them, tried to murder Jews. Yesterday, there was an Ishmaelite with an axe in his hand who attacked an Israeli policeman outside Damascus Gate in Jerusalem and wounded him. We also had more rock-throwing and Molotov cocktail hurling, and even the complete incineration of an Israeli border patrol jeep in Atur, a part of Jerusalem. The fire department came to put out the fire and became the target of rocks, which hindered their efforts. Heroically, though, they endured and managed to douse the fire before it could leap to nearby homes. Looking at some video today of a clot of Ishmael clones chucking rocks and Molotov cocktails, I was struck by the similarity of this scene to countless other visuals over decades. It's always the same. Young Arab males in their teens or early 20s wearing t-shirts and jeans and running shoes and their heads completely wrapped in desert keffiyehs, masking their faces, throwing rocks and flaming bottles of gasoline at Jewish people. It's a scene that confirms the Torah Mesinai's description of Ishmael, a wild ass of a man. These people never change. And neither, I'm afraid, is Israel. In responding to them, I mean, the guy with the axe yesterday, 56 years old, had already spent years in an Israeli prison for murdering a Jew in Jerusalem, but was released in 2013 by Israel, thanks to pressure from that old Viet Cong collaborator John Kerry, meant to entice the ancient Palestinians to return to the negotiations, back to the negotiating table to negotiate a peace that they don't want. We now know that six Jews have been murdered thanks to the release in 2011 of hundreds in exchange for Gilad Shalit, and here's another anti-Semitic murderer imprisoned by Israel, then let go, who attacks again. This is the failure of Zionism. No, the movement was not a complete failure. The creation of this state, a home for 6 million Jews now over the last 150 years, is a miracle, thanks to Hashem, God, and Herzl Zionists. But if his goal was ending anti-Semitism, Zionism failed. Moreover, if memory serves, I want to read his book again, his fantasy novel, Old New Land. His vision of Israel after 20 years of independence suggests that Herzl didn't have a clue about the Muslims here and their opposition to the restoration of Eretz Yisrael by his fellow Europeans, no less. His fantasy deals very little with the Muslims, something about a kindly Muslim priest in there who has an ecumenical good friendship with rabbis and the Christian clergy, you know, all this kumbaya stuff. And while Herzl's state did return the Jewish people to soldiering, their transformation into a new Jew is also not complete. I mean, there's something defective in these Israelis who think the right thing to do with murderers like this guy is put him in prison, treat him well, plenty of food, showers, toilets, television, classes to attend, and then let him out to attack a border policeman with an axe. Again, this is a proven murderer of a Jew, and one might have expected that in Herzl's new Jew land, a Jew killer would be executed as expeditiously as possible. The number one crime in the State of the Jews Reborn should be violence against a Jew, to which the government should respond mercilessly. Violence against a Jew should be the ultimate crime. The purpose of the Zionist movement was to, quote, refute the diaspora, which is a slightly awkward translation of the Hebrew expression, but it does make the point. What was normative in the diaspora, for example, the murder of Jews with impunity, would become the opposite of normative here. The IDF reported yesterday that on Tuesday night in Judea and Samaria, this, by the way, comes from a J-Post sidebar news brief of a few words only, the IDF arrested 31 so-called Palestinians, which is, the item said, quote, significantly higher than the average in the IDF's nightly West Bank raids, close quote. My guess is that the MSM, the New York Times, and et cetera, have never once reported on this fact, that every night the IDF swoops down on a clutch of Ishmaelites in Judea and Samaria and hauls them in, which, when you consider the numbers, is nothing really. With over 1 million Arabs in Judea and Samaria, of course there are at any given moment, startup groups of young bucks planning on attacking Jews, and it's a constant battle daily, nightly, to disrupt their plots. Just yesterday it was reported there was a plot to murder Jews praying at the tomb of Joseph in Shechem, but it was foiled, 11 arrested. This goes on all the time, and it may be one of the principal reasons why Israel simply cannot retreat from Judea and Samaria. What, and hand the job over to the ancient Palestinian Authority? That was tried already. It was called the Oslo peace process and failed big time. And maybe, God willing, with a new president in Washington in a year and a half or so, one of those Republican supporters of Israel, we will be able finally to stand up before the world and do what Israeli Ambassador Chaim Herzog did in 1975 in the UN General Assembly when they voted on that resolution calling Zionism a form of racism. He dramatically tore up the text. And that is what Israel has to do with the text of the Oslo Accords. They must be declared null and void, expired, no longer valid. Then we maybe can declare to the world that Judea and Samaria is annexed to the State of Israel. And as for the Goyim in Judea and Samaria, we will be decent to them as individuals, but they won't have citizenship. If they don't like that, they're free to leave. And when the world of anti-Jewry shrieks back, apartheid, racism, we will reply that we have the identical right to expel them, all of them, like the Allies after World War II, who ordered 10 million ethnic Germans living outside of Germany to leave their homes, leave behind all their immovable property, and go live with their brethren in the new truncated Germany. 10 million people. And may we also discover the spiritual fortitude to buck the politically correct error of thinking that a society with death penalty is a more advanced and progressive and humane society than one with the death penalty. May Israel find the strength at that time to stop this nonsense of putting murderers in prison, taking care of them, even sometimes letting them out to strike again. That is the opposite of an advanced society. It's a regression to a Hobbesian world of all against all and no system of law and order to enforce good over evil.
ליבו תמיד ער כמו שחר חוזר כל הלילה לחם מתגבר לבדו יוותר עם ישראל כמו האיש ברמזור כשיגיע סימן את הנהר יעבור לא מפחד לעבור על הגשר הצר, מגיע לחוף ושם חוזרים אלייך, הדרך לא פשוטה, חוזרים בנייך מדרך ארוכה, תמשיך ללכת גם כשמתפתלות הדרכים, בקיבוץ גלויות יש פקקים. ישראל בונה מחלף ענווה, כששמו מחסום כיסופים הוא ידע, ורק הוא יכול, הוא מראה לעולם איך ממלח וחול מקים פה מפעל שנרדם, אך ליבו תמיד
ער. Yeah, with a new Republican president in the White House, it may become possible to take up arms against a sea of political correctness that is killing civilization. One of its expressions is the inability of people in the West to see Islam clearly, though I suspect a major part of that inability is just fear. Fear of Islam, fear of facing the enormity of the truth that Islam is the religion of the sons of Ham. Take, for example, the story of Kurt DeSchilling, the former American League pitcher, a former video game developer, and now a color analyst for ESPN Baseball, who just got sacked from his job of covering the Little League World Series for ESPN because of his splendid tweet the other day, really a good one. He said, quote, "The math is staggering when you get to the true number. It is said only 5 to 10% of Muslims are terrorists. In 1940, only 7% of Germans were Nazis. How did that go?" Perfect. That's exactly the right way to think about Islam. It does not matter that the majority are not terrorists. What does matter is the truth, that enough are, and even more, they are supported by the leaders of Islam. They are not outlying extremists. One of the Muslim secret agent Obama's most important tactical victories against the West was dictating from the first days of administration to be politically correct that Fort Hood had nothing to do with Islam. In his administration, he laid down the law there would be no linking of Islam to terror, when in truth, the only reason we ever hear of Islam is its crimes against humanity, its terror. I mean, over the last half century of international terrorism, almost all of it perpetrated by Muslims, what other news have we had about this community of 1 billion plus? Any contributions to science, to the betterment of mankind? Have there been any interesting films and books that have to come out of Islam, any R&D in medicine, in technology and engineering, any new computer programs. All we ever hear of from Islam is massacres and terrorist bombings. And this week's latest smashing of antiquities. The last webcast mentioned the destruction of ancient temples, an ancient temple in Palmyra in Syria. Well, the New York Times follow-up piece on that story included words from a Syrian antiquities official, one Ma'amun Abdel Karim. He said that he and his department have been able to save some 300,000 objects from predation by ISIS. It turns out that ISIS may be blowing up the big stuff, but the small stuff, it is looting and selling on the black market. What hypocrisy. In the Torah, the Israelites are commanded, when dispossessing the Canaanites and other subnationals, to destroy their idols and take no booty, not to keep their gold and silver. Everything must go. ISIS, though, in the name of smashing idolatry, is not doing that. They prefer to steal and sell such objects, which suggests that their avarice trumps their piety. I have long believed that Islam was only partially successful in its attempt to implant Jewish monotheism among the Arabs, and that so much of what we hate about Muslims is really the pre-existing condition of being a marauding, larcenist Arab people and religion. Interesting, too, in the Times coverage was learning that Abdel Karim has a PhD in archaeology, and so does his wife. Both of them heroically choosing not to flee Syria at this time, Damascus, but remain to save as many of these rich archaeologic treasures as they can. I read that, and something did not compute. It turns out that both Abdel Karim and his wife are not your run-of-the-mill Arabian Muslims, as the location of their home and their names might suggest. He said that he and his wife chose to stay in Damascus, quote, despite the war, and accept this impossible mission of saving these objects because of their love for history and diversity. For him, the Times wrote, it is personal as well as intellectual, given his Armenian, Syriac, Christian, and Kurdish heritage, close quote. Ah, yes. This is not your run-of-the-mill Arabian Muslim who loves history and diversity. The Arabs don't love history and don't love diversity. They are totalitarians who despise diversity and rewrite history as they choose. This curator seems to be an Arabic-speaking Syrian citizen, but his roots are in Christianity and with the Kurds, who are not Arabs. This item brought up the theft and sale of these archaeological treasures, these idols, and other non-Islamic relics, which only strengthens my view that Islam serves to validate and give glory to their urge, which is pre-Islamic, to rob and plunder. They did that before Islam came around, and they still do. Only now they have a religious justification for overrunning other people's countries and robbing them of their wealth in the name of spreading the one true faith. Which brings me back to Kurt Schilling, who apparently was so unhappy to be fired and not allowed to work in broadcasting the Little League World Series. He apologized for his tweet and for maligning Islam. It is to his shame and ESPN's shame that this has happened. It seems to be another offshoot of the politically correct acceptance of President Obama's deal with Iran. He and the P5 plus one countries. It's more evidence of Batyor's prescient view of years ago now that the West was entering an age of dimitude, in which we all like dimmies before the power of advancing Islam. Reuters reported yesterday that the Saudis were able to find and extradite from Lebanon one Ahmed al-Murasil, who is responsible for the bombing of the American barracks at Khobar in 1996. Which killed 19 American servicemen and wounded 300 others. In 2006, it was proven in a New York City federal court that the truck bomb that was used was assembled in Lebanon by Hezbollah and Iran's Revolutionary Guards on orders of Iran's El Supremo, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, the very one who is about to be gifted by Barack Obama with $150 billion. I find this simply amazing, how this con man Obama and his deranged henchman John Kerry and their flunkies like Wendy Sherman have all talked themselves and too many congressmen and others into believing that the way to deal with the Iranians, with their record of numerous attacks on American servicemen and Iran's shameless battle cry of death to America, is to send them all this money and to allow them to go on building an atomic bomb. This is madness. This is absolute madness made possible, I think, by the overriding drive of Obama and his Muslims and too many Europeans as well to attack the Jews in this generation as they attack us in every generation.
עצמות האלה ויאמר אליו השם אלוקים אתה ידעת כה אמר השם אלוקים לעצמות האלה הנה אני מביא בכם רוח וחייתם ויהי כל כהנה בו והנה רעש ותקרבו עצמות עצם אל עצמו והנה גידים עליהם ובשר עלה ויקרם עליהם עור מלמעלה ורוח אין בהם ותבוא בהם הרוח יעמדו על רגליהם חיל גדול מאוד מאוד מקברותיהם העצמות האלה כל בית ישראל ואז תוכל לראות את הפנים כולן את מי שלא ראית מאז ומעולם את אברהם ואת שרה חווה ואדם את כל מי שהתגעגעת אליו כל כך ויאמר הנבא לרוח הנבא בן אדם כה אמר השם אלוקים מארבע רוחות בואי הרוח מארבע רוחות בואי ופחי בהרוגים ותבוא בהם הרוח יעמדו על רגליהם חיל גדול מאוד מאוד מקברותיהם העצמות האלה כל בית ישראל ואז תוכל לראות את הפנים כולן את מי שלא ראית מאז ומעולם את אברהם ואת שרה חווה ואדם את כל מי שהתגעגעת אליו כל כך גדול מאוד מאוד מקברותיהם העצמות האלה כל בית ישראל ואז תוכל לראות את הפנים כולן את מי שלא ראית מאז ומעולם את אברהם ואת שרה חווה ואדם את כל מי שהתגעגעת אליו כל כך
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Yeah, there's something that is simply insane in the denial in the West of the menace that is Islam. And notice I don't say Islamic extremists. The reality is that these Muslim extremists, so-called, have for decades been financed by the mainstream regimes in Islam. Hamas got off the ground as a protege of the Saudis. The Saudis also provided the money for launching the Taliban in Afghanistan, among whom that Saudi Osama bin Laden began his terror career. And it was the regime in Tehran as well that created Hezbollah, and still supports it. This nonsense about Islamic extremists has got to stop when their sources of funding and the asylum they enjoy are the mainstream governments in the region, who are as insane about the West in general, the U.S. and Israel in particular, as Germany's Nazis. A week ago, it was World Mosque Day, which commemorates the fire set and the vandalism caused in Al-Aqsa Mosque in this month in 1969 by a demented Australian Christian who thought he was going to trigger the Second Coming or something, which explanation the Muslims have never accepted. For them, reality itself is as veiled as their women, and there's always a plot behind the scenes. Their explanation is that that Michael Dennis Rowan, who did this terrible thing, was paid tens of millions of dollars by the Mossad to set that fire. Indeed, today's Organization of Islamic Cooperation, formerly known as the Organization of the Islamic Conference, all 56 states, plus the phantom state of Palestine, was created in 1969 in the wake of that attack on Al-Aqsa. It was a way, this organization, of reinforcing the truth that the resistance to Israel was Islamic before it was Palestinian. My own book records Haj Amin calling a conference of Islamic states to combat Zionism in the 1920s, I think it was. And on World Mosque Day, which alludes to that attack in 1969 against that Al-Aqsa Mosque, Iranian President Hassan Rouhani, you know, Smiley Rouhani, that famous moderate whose election was going to change everything, he said, quote, "This incident in 1969 means that the aggressive occupying Zionist regime is not bound by the laws of society and of humanity. It takes no pity on men, children, and women and continues to kill and rape them. Not only does it regard a house of prayer or a mosque, it also disregards the first direction of prayer in the world of the Muslims," i.e., he's talking about Jerusalem, "and a place that that is respected by all religions." Yeah, Israel's occupation of Jerusalem disrespects all religions in his mind. And, of course, the Zionists keep going on there with their killing and raping. This is who is in charge in Iran, the Iran that Obama and all those who support his plan want to give all that money too, and let them build atomic bombs. These Muslims, the ones in charge, are not the unrepresentative radical extreme fringe of the culture, but represent its core, the real Islam, with the power, which ESPN doesn't want to know about. Here's another example. Last Thursday in Cairo, ISIS set off a bomb near a security building and a courthouse that wounded 30 people, I think. Afterwards, ISIS tweeted that it was in reprisal for the execution of 6 of its members who had attacked Cairo last year. Quote, "Let the apostates of the police and the army, the followers of Jews, know we are a people who do not forget our revenge," close quote. I read that and I ask myself, what century are these people living in? For them, the Jews are behind everything. For them, life is an endless series of attacks and counterattacks. In the name of revenge, a barbarian's idea of justice, when such an idea leads only to endless violence. But they don't care. Violence is a way of life for these Hamites.
ראש השנה שלי הוא חידוש גדול, השם יתברך יודע שאין הדבר בירושה מאבותיי, רק השם יתברך נתן לי זאת במתנה, שאני יודע מהו ראש השנה. הראש השנה שלי הוא חידוש גדול, והשם יתברך יודע שאין הדבר בירושה מאבותיי, רק השם יתברך נתן לי זאת במתנה, שאני יודע מהו ראש השנה. והיה והיה פלא אצלי, מאחר שהמקורבים שלי מאמינים לי, ולמה לא ייזהר כל המקורבים אליי, איש לא יעדר שיהיו על ראש השנה, שיהיו כולם על ראש השנה. השנה שלי הוא חידוש גדול, והשם יתברך יודע שאין הדבר בירושה מאבותיי, רק השם יתברך נתן לי זאת במתנה, שאני יודע מהו ראש השנה. והיה פלא אצלי, מאחר שהמקורבים שלי מאמינים לי, למה לא ייזהרו כל המקורבים אליי, איש לא יעדר שיהיו על ראש השנה, שיהיו כולם על ראש השנה. המקורבים שלי מאמינים לי, ולמה לא ייזהר כל המקורבים אליי, איש לא יעדר שיהיו על ראש השנה, שיהיו כולם על ראש השנה,
שיהיו כולם על ראש השנה.
Last item, one other sign of the madness of our time was the news that the Germans are going to send the Berlin Philharmonic to Tehran for a concert. Daniel Barenboim, conductor. He's their permanent conductor, and he's happy to go, I'm sure. This is when we need a leader in Jerusalem who will, so to speak, yell at the Germans and demand to be told, "What do you think you are doing?" These Iranians hate Jews as much as your grandparents, and their Führer hated Jews and are as open about their genocidal wishes as they were. And as for Barenboim, well, he's just off the rails about his Jewish identity, as Noam Chomsky is, and Norman Finkelstein, and little Tommy Friedman, Roger Cohen, and a host of others twisted up inside, men and women of Jewish extraction, although legally Jews. All of them are pathetic prostitutes, whose reward for Jew bashing is fame and fortune. Okay, that's it for this evening and the week. May we enjoy the Sabbath and have a better week next week. Laila Tova, Shabbat Shalom from the hills of Judea.